Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret, and today we are continuing through the book of Deuteronomy. We come today to chapter 11, and we begin our study in verse 16. Father, we pray and ask that you would add your blessing to your word as we teach it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we begin our study in verse 16. Now, God has been talking to the Israelites before they enter into the promised land, and he has been promising them great blessings and bumper crops and wealth and many good things to enjoy if they obey. But then he comes to verse 16 and this warning. It says, "Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them." In other words, God says, take care. Do not turn to other gods. When things start going well, don't forget me. Don't turn to other so-called gods who have not made the heavens and have not made the earth and who cannot give rain and sunshine and cause your crops to grow. 17. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. The Jews used to say, the key that opens the windows of heaven and causes it to rain is in the hand of God. He owns that key, and he holds it. And you know, that's true. When he opens the windows of heaven and causes it to rain, no one can shut it. Just ask the people of Noah's day. And when he shuts the windows of heaven so that it does not rain, no one can open it. If Israel starts chasing around with idols, God will remind them that he is the Lord who blesses. He will remind them that when he takes away the rain and all the good that comes with it. Verse 18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, it's fine to hang the Word of God, little reminders all over your house like he is talking about. But what the main point here is this. As a firewall of protection to keep idolatry and other sins out of their lives, the Israelites are to keep the law of God fresh in their minds. Now, to do that, they may have to tack up little post-its, you know, with the Word of God written on it all over their house, on their door frame. Who knows? If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. But one way or another, keep it fresh in your mind. It's like Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." There is something about putting the Word of God in us that strengthens us from the inside out, and it helps to keep sin away. Verse 21. So that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Long life is a wonderful blessing. And I think an even greater blessing is long life for your children. And God promises both to Israel if they will keep his commandments. God says, Israel, here's the deal. You keep obeying me, and I'll let you live in the Holy Land forever. And he would have. The ball is in Israel's court. It's all up to him, or up to them. Verse 22. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. In other words, if you know my law and you do not stop there, but you actually practice my law, then you can count on this. Verse 23, God says, count on this. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Little by little, as the Israelites remain faithful, God will drive all seven nations out of the territory of the Holy Land in order to make room for them. And it will be God who does it, by the way, because Israel certainly isn't strong enough to beat those big, powerful enemies herself. But God promises that He will do it. Verse 24, every place where you set your foot will be yours, from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. Every place you set your foot within that territory that God lays out will be yours, Israel. The Jews did not have a name it and claim it promise from God. They had a step on it and claim it promise from God. As long as they were obedient, that is. And according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 21, centuries later, in the days of King Solomon, before Israel started going downhill spiritually, they did. They laid claim to all the land that God promised them here in verse 24. It all became theirs. Verse 25. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as He promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land, wherever you go. No nation will be able to defeat Israel if Israel walks with the Lord. Now, they may be bigger, and they may be tougher, but God will scramble their brains and cause them to panic at even the thought of Israel. Isn't that amazing? God can manipulate a person's brains. He can manipulate a person's thinking to be a blessing to His people or to be a pain in the neck to His people. And He promises to do it on behalf of Israel if they obey Him. Verse 26, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. God is setting before Israel a blessing and a curse. It is their choice. If obeyed, God's law will bring Israel blessing. If disobeyed, it will result in bad times, the curse of sin, as it were. But that choice is before Israel, as He says here. And God will not violate their free will either. He doesn't violate anybody's free will, even today. All God can do is lay out the facts in the Holy Scripture. All He can do is tell us the good and the bad, and then let us do as we want. And He will. 27. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. And God keeps pushing for obedience, doesn't He? By making it clear that it is for their own good. And so in 27 He says, the blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. Verse 28, the curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. Some people say, I never punish my child when they do wrong. No, I never do that. I feel a more positive approach is better. I promise them good things if they obey instead of bad things if they disobey. I've heard people say that sort of thing. And I want to say to them, you better get in line with God's word, or you're going to end up creating a monster by the time that child of yours is grown. Because that's not God's way. One thing is clear. He promises bad times for disobedience, for rebellion, and good times for obedience. Both need to be proclaimed. Verse 29. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings, and on Mount Ebal the curses, In other words, God says, when you get in the land, I want these blessings of obedience and the curse of sin that will result from disobedience. I want those things proclaimed out loud in the presence of everybody. And they did do that when they entered the Holy Land. They spoke all the blessings and the cursings of obedience and disobedience for all the Israelites to hear as they entered the land. And they were reminded that obedience was the key to survival and to success. Verse 30. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road, toward the setting sun, near the great trees of Moreh, in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah and the vicinity of Gilgal. And actually, those two mountains where the blessings and the curses were proclaimed to the entire assembly, they were actually about 60 miles into the Holy Land. 31. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you have taken it over and are living there, in other words, God says, when you have taken it, notice when you have taken it, not if, but when you have taken it. It's not a question of taking the Holy Land. God's going to give it to them. The question is, will they behave in a way that will allow them to keep it? That's the big question. 32. He says, when you are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today. And I've lost track, really, of how many times God has said this to Israel in one way or another. He just keeps repeating it. But it's like I said in the past, we learn by repetition. And that's why I'm saying that again. We learn by repetition. Good rules should be repeated because we need it repeated. Good rules should be repeated because our sin nature and the world around us and the devil are very good at causing us to forget those good things. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. These are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live in the land. Now, Moses says these are the decrees. In chapter 12 here begins actually a new sermon by Moses to the Israelites. And he is about to lay out the law of God that they are to keep. Notice verse 1, they are to keep it in the land that God has given them as a gift. Now that's important for us to see. Always remember this. The moral law of God is timeless and should be observed by everyone everywhere. But there are certain religious laws and rituals that pertain only to Israel and only in the Holy Land. They don't pertain to us in America in the year 2004. Very important to rightly divide the Word of God in this matter. Verse 2, God says, destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worshipped their gods. And so the temples and the altars and the shrines of all the idols of the Canaanites who lived there before Israel arrived, all those things must be demolished. Some of those idols and those altars and things like that, they were on hills, which the people thought pleased the gods. That's why they built them on the hills, you know, being closer to the heavens and everything. That's why they did it. Others were in nice meadows under shady trees, you know, beautiful settings. I think I'll build an altar to my idol. And they thought that that was pleasing to the gods. And it just illustrates that Satan likes to cover his lies with beauty in order to lead people astray easier. I think we better stop there for today. We'll pick up our study in verse 3. But let's close with prayer. Father, we ask that you would teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.